my decision to sit with ayahuasca was happening simultaneously at the same time where my business was blowing up, but I had all this wounding around success and hard work. You know, I was making about $700,000 a year and I was empty. With the coming online of these beautiful medicines, there's also this shadow of people serving the medicine in a not right relationship way, or harvesting the medicine in an unethical way, not being in right relationship with the tribes. People are hurting out there and don't want medicines to be shared. But for every one person who's angry about medicine shared, there's an indigenous person in the tribes that's saying, hey, can you please do something with this? So my shaman, he has asked the person who coordinates our dietas in Peru to please carry this medicine back.
Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another amazing episode of the We Are the Medicine podcast. Today, I am joined by my incredible dear sister, Lauren Eliz Love. Lauren is an entrepreneur, spiritual mentor, and earth medicine facilitator who helps women to heal their chronic health issues, rewrite their past traumas, and build the legacy of their dreams. She has transmuted her own deep spiritual initiations into medicine for the collective, and she has a wealth of knowledge and wisdom that she shares through her online programs and courses. In today's episode, Lauren tells us about the journey that led her to the plant medicine path. She explains her experience taking a variety of pharmaceutical medications for her mental health issues previously, and how she had desired to stop taking those medications, and that is what originally led her to plant medicine, fungi medicine, and this was the catalyst for her first psychedelic experience with sacred mushrooms. She also tells us the story of being at the height of her business while simultaneously battling debilitating chronic health issues, which is what led her to make the decision to take an entire year off of her business and move to Sedona, Arizona in order to study with plant medicine and heal her body. Through her plant medicine study, Lauren came to realize that her physical and mental health issues were a result of her unprocessed childhood trauma. You'll hear Lauren tell us how she found some of the deepest healing of her life through working with medicines like ayahuasca, combo, and bufo. We also get into a really important conversation on the topic of cultural appropriation and the ethics of white people sitting with and serving plant medicine. We examine how we as white people can do our best to remain in integrity and right relationship with these medicines, and how we can support and uplift indigenous people. Lauren discusses the surprising and unexpected circumstances that led her to facilitating some of the same medicines that helped her heal her life. And she also tells us about some of the backlash she has experienced for sharing these aspects of herself online. You'll also hear us talk about what to look for in a plant medicine facilitator and what to do if you are feeling called to facilitate plant medicine experiences yourself. The path to becoming a facilitator of earth medicine is a deep initiatory path, and it's not for everyone. Lauren also discusses some of the lessons and challenges and initiations that she's had to go through on her path as a facilitator that have deepened her awareness and her ability to hold safe space for others. I had such a great time recording this episode, and I really hope you all enjoy it. It is seriously one of my favorites so far. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, everyone, welcome back to the We Are the Medicine podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, my beautiful sister, Lauren of Love. Welcome, Lauren. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Yay, I'm so excited. Podcasts with your friends are the best because they're very unfiltered and you get to be yourself and magic comes through. So I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, that's my favorite way to do it. I just want to have more of my friends on the podcast because yeah. It's just like... it flows so much easier than
trying to do it by myself.
mm-hmm.
So I would love for you to just start with maybe a little bit of your backstory and sharing how you were led to the plant medicine path.
That's like a love story. They should make a Disney movie about it. It's like, I feel like every plant medicine person has this like really beautiful story to tell about how they found the plants. And I kind of think it's like the plants find us, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my journey, I had a lot of mental health challenges growing up. There's a lot of backstory to it, but the concise version is that I am a survivor of sexual trauma. And when I was 19, I was raped and then attempted suicide and ended up in a psychiatric facility and was diagnosed with many different slews of mental health disorders. So for many years, about 7 years, I was very heavily medicated. And when I was on my awakening path and I was healing back in like 2015, I made the decision to come off all of my medications because I recognized that I wasn't actually feeling the greatest capacity of life and I wasn't myself and I didn't know who I was without these substances. So I began that journey, but it was really complex because I was on many different medications. And so about 2018, it was like 3 years in, I realized that there were certain psychiatric drugs that were just, they did so much damage to my mind that I really had something that I needed to fix and repair within my mental health that I couldn't find answers to. And I had tried everything. Like they say, the brain gut connection, right? I was working on that and I was meditating and I was doing breath work and I was trying all these things, but I wasn't really getting where I wanted to be. And the final medication, Prozac, was so hard to get off of. A friend of mine said, well, mushrooms are great for that. And so that was kind of what opened up my path. And I was really afraid at the time because I didn't have I had no previous study with psychedelics. I had no experiences in my teenage years where I was using any of those types of plants. So it was a very, very scary thing to do. But I knew that, it's kind of like, I think the plants put you in a moment of desperation where you're like, I've tried everything else. There's nothing working. Help me. And that has continued to be the theme, and what led me to Combo and what led me to ayahuasca, what led me to Bufo. So I've been on my plant medicine path now for about almost 5 years, and I'm so grateful. I mean, so much in my life has changed, but that's the condensed version. My mental health needed help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so interesting because I think a lot of people, I think that pharmaceuticals can help people, especially if you're in a really dark place, like you're feeling suicidal and all of these things. And maybe for a lot of people, you need to not feel for a little while, but I think that they do have a way of numbing us to what the actual problem is. And it's so important to get to that point where you're like, okay, no, I'm ready to actually deal with this shit and I'm ready to feel it. And the plants and the fungi are amazing at helping for that. I see that a lot where I think, like you said, people get to that point where they're like, I literally don't know what else to do, And the meditation and the breath work and all of that is so important as well, especially for that like preliminary healing portal. I think it is important to do some sort of healing work before you try psychedelics, but everyone's path is different. So there's plenty of people who have never even gone to therapy or tried any form of healing and they just feel called to work with psychedelics. And I think that's beautiful too. But I would love for you to share, I know that there was a point in your life where you were dealing with a lot of chronic health issues and that caused you to really have to take a lot of time for yourself and where you went deep in your study with the plants. And I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I had my first mushroom sit, right? This is like my first entry into the medicine world. And I knew, I think many people can identify, you know, sometimes you have a plant medicine experience and some people are like, that was great. And I'm going to just go integrate that for 10 years and maybe I'll come back to the medicine and maybe I won't. But for me and for many people, there's like this portal that kind of opens where we know it's like just the beginning of our study when we first sit with medicine. And so for me, I didn't feel complete. I felt like there was much more to unravel. And at the time, I had a group of friends and they were like, yeah, let's do an ayahuasca retreat, right? And if you saw me like 2 months before that, if I Googled ayahuasca, I would have been like, fuck no. Like, but there's a bucket, you poop. Like, I don't understand. Like, just the concept of it was just so far-fetched to my understanding of what healing was at the time. But I said yes. It felt like a very deep yes to me to embrace that opportunity. And that was simultaneously happening. My decision to sit with ayahuasca was happening simultaneously at the same time where my business, my career as a, you know, an online course creator, self-development teacher, whatever you identify me as, was blowing up, right? My business was at this like all-time high. But I had all this wounding around success and hard work and what it meant to feel worthy, like of success. So I was, you know, I was making about $700,000 a year and I was empty. My worthiness was just on the floor. I felt like nothing I was doing was ever good enough. I was working 80-hour weeks constantly and I was pushing my body for more, more, and more. And what was happening at the same time, you know, you couple that with the decision to sit with ayahuasca, which I believe kind of opens up, things start happening the moment you choose. It's like this very warped thing where like the medicine works before you sit. And then you also add the fact that I was learning how to navigate my mind, which had all this repressed trauma, and my womb that had all this repressed sexual trauma. Everything was coming online at once. And so it was like the overworking, the not good enoughness, the burnout, the feeling like a failure, the repressed mental health challenges, the avoidance of self, the body issues that I was plagued with in terms of just how I didn't feel safe in my body started to manifest as chronic illness. So around the same time, I started to notice these weird things happening where I had severe brain fog and would forget my birthday or forget where the grocery store was when I was driving. I stopped being able to drive because my vision got so bad and I knew something was wrong. I had this skin on fire rash. My hair was falling out. I mean, it was gnarly. And what I thought back then was, I got a chronic illness. Like there's something happening. And that was true. But in my teachings and my belief system, I firmly believe that chronic illness or like disease in general happens on the physical, emotional, and spiritual plane all at the same time. So what was happening for me was like the illumination of all of this unpacked, unintegrated suffering, repressed trauma. And so, yeah, it was really terrifying. And my first ayahuasca retreat, I could hardly make it there. I was like unable to stand on the lines for the airport and threw up when I landed because for those of you with chronic illness, flying is like really challenging, is very difficult. But after 7 days of being at this retreat, all my symptoms disappeared. Wow. It was like my skin cleared up, my brain was back, my awareness was back. And I knew in that moment, like, this is the study that I have to continue. So I came back to the States and it's hard to imagine continuing to fly out of the country when you can barely function. And I was so blessed. I found a community in Sedona. And there's this very, really special moment I'll just share with you. I had this very deep calling to go move there. To get the support because there were ayahuasca teachers, there were combo teachers, there was this whole community there that I knew would offer me the opportunity to heal in this way. And I thought I was, you know, crazy. I think, so, you know, sometimes we have these downloads. We're like, am I insane? But I just asked the universe. I was like, okay, if I'm really meant to do this, you know, bring me the wealth and abundance that will support this opportunity. And at the time we had our doors opening for a launch of our program, and we made six figures in our first day, which was unheard of. And I fell to my knees crying in the hallway. And my husband's like, what are you doing? And I was like, you don't understand. I just asked the universe, like, if I was meant to go live in Sedona and then this happened and I have to go move. And he's like, okay, like my wife's going to leave me. But we did. We packed up the car and I went and I lived there for a year and I went through a spiritual sabbatical. I put my business on hold and just sat with every ayahuasca every 4 weeks and combo so many times I can't count. But on the other side of it, I was a human again and a new version of myself that I had never met, which was incredible. So yeah, that's the long-winded story of that journey.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Talk about a dark night of the soul.
Dude. Yeah. I wanted to like abandon my whole entire life. It was so hard. Yeah. And you think like your world's falling apart and then the plants like make you question your soul's purpose. And my whole identity around business, like at the time, was just like not what I was becoming. And I had to let go of that and aspects of relationships that had to change. I mean, the medicine is not just like sit down and have this experience around your inner trauma and then you're fine. It's like, do that and then watch what happens and watch what changes in your world. And sometimes that's the hardest part for people is like the changes they have to make on the other side of this work. So yeah, integration was was a lot, but yeah, I'm very blessed.
Yeah, it definitely, I think that a lot of people probably struggle with integration. And I know myself in the beginning, I thought, like I was so naive and I thought, I'm just gonna go drink ayahuasca and my life is gonna be perfect after and I'm not gonna have to do anything different.
Like, yeah, good luck.
Right? So y'all know that's not really how it works.
PSA, like, no.
Not at all. It will cause you a lot of stress and confusion. But it's so, like, I just love your story and I feel like it's so powerful because I think we see a lot of people, especially like celebrities and musicians and artists and people who have this idea of success and that I think a lot of people think, I'm gonna get to that place of success and I'm gonna make it, I'm gonna have six figures, I'm gonna make $1 million and my life is gonna be so much better. And a lot of people get there and they realize like, oh, I still have a lot of issues. I still have all the same issues I had before, yeah. But now they're amplified because yeah. I'm in this place of the spotlight, you know? Mm. And one of my favorite things that you teach in the business world is that your business is a spiritual practice and it's going to reflect back to you the parts of yourself that need healing, the parts of yourself that crave validation or that crave love. And that's one of my, I just love that teaching from you and
thank you.
The way that you have really embodied those lessons that you had to learn in that deep healing portal you went through.
It's so wild because like people think, you know, I even get jaded around this sometimes because I see certain marketers of influence in the online space who preach business from this very masculine perspective of like, oh, here's your strategy, here are your steps, here are your funnels, here are your graphics, and everything's like on this silver platter and you're like, okay, here you go. But you know, anybody who's been on this path who is also identifying as a spiritual person knows that your entrepreneur journey is going to bring up every single shadow of your storyline. And it's those things that are actually the things that hold people back. It's not your marketing plan or your how great your email funnels are. It's like, you know, how embodied are you in the art of faith and patience and how worthy and alignment do you feel for wealth? And like, how trusting are you of the intuitive gifts that you have? And like all of that is an endless study. And it's really important that we remember that like the business is here for our healing. It's here because we have a soul's purpose, yes, and we want to help the world, but it is like anything. It's like a relationship with a partner or a relationship with a child. You're birthing a experience of how you relate to something that is going to bring up all of the shadows that need to be integrated within yourself. So I appreciate that you see it that way, because it's really important work. And when you know that, you can navigate the path with much more efficiency than when you don't.
Yeah, because otherwise, and I mean, you can apply this to anything. You can apply it to relationships, building a business, you know, anything. Otherwise you start to think like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people, especially in the business world, like there is this just very old school, hyper masculine way of doing things. And like you said, you start to be like, oh, well, I need to change my funnels, or I need to change my marketing strategy. I need to pay more money for ads or something, when in reality, most likely there's something within. I mean, I think that it just all goes back to the spiritual, emotional, mental components as well. Like it's all connected, just like the chronic health stuff, you know, all of the health problems that people experience oftentimes are a manifestation of the repressed trauma, the repressed emotions. And I think that looking at ourselves and our world in this more holistic view is so important. And I think that's where a lot of the Western mm-hmm. I think that's where like the Western medical system or like these old school ways of doing business, I think that's what they're really missing in a lot of ways.
100%. It's very symptomatic, right? And so like people talk, I think this is also very true in like the money mindset industry, where we're taught like, oh, work on your money blocks. Okay, well, like the reason money is not manifesting into your life, that's not a problem. That's a symptom of something else going on. So if you keep bypassing that by like thinking positive and downloading money mantras and visualizing a ton of money in your bank account, those are fun practices. But if there are things that are stopping you that are still within your energetic field and you're not presencing them and you're not holding space for them, they're going to manifest. It's like when people come into like my heal program as an example, and people want to heal. Generally, illness is manifesting in multiple planes of our 3D reality. So maybe for you, that's like financial difficulty and hormone issues in your body, or eczema or fibromyalgia. Maybe your relationship and your partnership is dysfunctional, right? It's not just one thing. And most people think that all of these problems are all different problems, because in Western society, right, you have a skin condition, you go to the skin doctor. You have an issue with your eyes, you go to the eye doctor. Everything's separate. And really, actually, it's that holistic approach that you're describing, where we unify all these things. We see them as all symptoms of an underlying issue that we can actually get to the core. So in my journey of plant medicine, that was really what it was all about. It was, who am I at my core? And what are all the things that I've been carrying that have been creating dysfunction in how I work, in how I have a relationship, in how my body is, and the energy it holds, and the vitality it's lacking? What is really actually going on behind the scenes? And when we do that, we like lift the veil and we get to really face what's present, so that we can rewrite it or let it go. And that's plant medicine, baby.
Oh my God, yes. And I think it is so important to be able to look at things in this holistic way, and to realize that if you're having issues in all these different areas, in your business, in your health, and in the way you feel about your body, or chronic health issues, if you're having issues in relationships, oftentimes they're all tied in together. And they're oftentimes, I feel like there's probably like just a core root of all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we got to get to that. We got to dig deeper. And I think that plant medicine, fungi medicine, amphibian medicine can like really, really help us to just get to the core wound of like, what is it that's holding me back? Why am I struggling in relationships? Why am I struggling with health issues? You know, all these different things.
Yeah. And it was really like, you know, for me, just as you're talking, I'm thinking about two things. Like, First of all, the amphibian medicines, whew, so direct, right? They go like right to what's going on. They don't fuck around, right? Ayahuasca dances. She's a little bit more of like this, all right, we'll hang out for 6 hours and we'll go in and out of your suffering. Whereas like the amphibian medicines are like, fuck it, let's go, right? Like they dive really, really deep. And I love that. And I could appreciate that more masculine direct approach to healing. But yeah, what this is bringing up for me, just as you're talking, is like, I can't tell you, Serena, how many times I went into a plant medicine ceremony and I was like, all right, because I did this in layers, right? I'm sitting so often, I had an understanding of like, you bring a prayer, you bring a strong prayer, you focus and you do good work, right? You have that firmness, that firmeza of like really standing strong and paying attention to what your prayer is. And I would do that. And then something totally different would come up in my ceremony. And I'd be like, what does this have to do with that? Like, you know, I'm here calling in money abundance and I'm having visions of when I was like 6 years old playing in a forest. But if I'm not open to understanding what's coming up and what it means and as it's related to the root, I'm going to miss the whole point. And so it's just like, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the medicine is already holistic. All these medicines are already so expansive and so highly intelligent. They come and they find what you are struggling with. And oftentimes it's not what you think it is, right? And so we have to have that openness to explore our psyche, to be aware that like our intentions, we may not get what we want, but we always get what we need, right? Like that approach, it's very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big one. Like, especially with ayahuasca, I remember hearing that she's like 20% your intention and 80% whatever she needs to give you right now. Yeah. You know, like I've had that happen where I've gone in, you know, with an intention, like I want to create more abundance. And then it's like, I'm going into all of this inner child healing or like feeling like, why am I not enough? And then it's so easy to be like, well, that, how is that related at all? But it's really all related.
That's the core, you know, that's the core.
Mm-hmm. I would love for you, we touched on the amphibian medicines. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about Kambo and Bufo and maybe just give a little like short description for people who don't know what they are and how those amphibian medicines have helped you in your life.
Yeah. So I'm a big lover of the amphibian realm. I had this when I was a little kid. I really wanted a bullfrog and my mom said no. So I made my science project that year be about tadpoles so that I could purposely get a frog. So I've always like been connected for some weird reason. I guess that's like a cool, yeah, it's a cool thing to know that as a kid, I was like called to this realm. But Kambo was one of the medicines I found when I went to Sedona in search of answers. And this medicine is a really, really powerful medicine that is now coming online in a very popular way in the United States and in other Western world. Like basically what this medicine is a purgative. And ayahuasca is a purgative too, but that's not her number one intention, right? Kambo's number one intention is often identified as purging, right? And the concept of this medicine on a spiritual plane is you pray and whatever is blocking your field, you will purge out of your system through your Kambo experience. So whether that's sweating, shaking, crying, vomiting, going to the bathroom, we're clearing all of this trapped energy that's in our field. Now, this medicine is used in indigenous tradition before hunting because what happens when you go through this clearing process is you come out the other side with like a stronger chi, like more sharp, more centered, more focused, more alert, and it opens up your energy fields that may be blocked. So it's a really, really good manifestation medicine. I often refer to it as a manifestation medicine. And my teacher used to say, Kambo is the medicine of sovereignty. It clears what no longer serves you to call in what you want. It's like the Ganesha of medicines. And I really resonate with that principle because for me, I was having a hard time with my physical body and there was a lot that really needed to be cleared out of my energy field, you know, for in the physical sense, it's like chronic illness is just so difficult, and combo was a very helpful medicine for me. Now, the scientific side of combo is that there's over 125 peptides in combo, some of which are bioactive, right? And so what happens is this medicine comes into your field and retrains your neurons to communicate properly. So people who have issues with their mental health after coming off of pharmaceuticals, people who have gut issues, lung issues, joint issues, pain issues, combo tends to be a really effective medicine. The medicine's applied to the skin with burn marks that are called gates. And that's where we open up the first layer of skin and we apply that medicine. And then you go through your process, which I know I've served you before, so I'm sure we could just riff on it. But it can be really intense. And it's a medicine of strength. It's a warrior medicine. And was a really helpful one for me on my path. So yeah, that's combo. And it's not a psychedelic, but it's a very spiritual experience. And then Bufo is the God molecule, right? You know, we say ayahuasca is the grandmother and Bufo is the God molecule. And so this is a medicine that we smoke from a toad in the desert, and it brings you to oneness, and it's an essence. It's really hard to describe, but it's a oneness that you experience when you're in the medicine that there's no real words for it in my book. And it's more of a shorter experience. It lasts about 20 to 40 minutes. And there are a lot of things about these medicines that right now are really dear to my heart, because with the coming online of these beautiful medicines, there's also this shadow of people maybe serving the medicine in a not right relationship way, or harvesting the medicine in an unethical way, not being in right relationship with the tribes. And so this is coming up much more as we are seeing this medicine come more and more online, and also the safety, right? That's really important, the safety of these medicines. We can riff on these wherever you want to go, but there's so much to talk about when it comes to the amphibian line of medicine work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything you said is really important. And I think that as these earth medicines become more popular, it is really important that we remember to honor the lineages that have carried them for centuries, and honor the indigenous people who have held this wisdom, you know, in secrecy for a lot of them for thousands of years, you know. And I think that is so important, and to learn from them and to respect the medicines by not over harvesting and all of these things. I think that is just so, so important. Hey friend, if you are interested in plant medicines, or if you're on the plant medicine path, or even if you just like to work with plant medicines to enhance your spiritual practice, you are going to love Four Visions Market. Four Visions Market has a wide selection of many different spiritual tools that can help enhance your spiritual practice. They have just about anything you could imagine to fit your personal spiritual needs, such as an amazing collection of hapé, which is my personal favorite thing to buy from them. Four Visions is my go-to place to get hapé, and my two favorites from them are Divine Mother Rose and the Ojo de Jaguar hapé. And even if you're not into hapé like me, I promise you they will have something you're gonna love. They have a wide selection of spiritual tools, with anything from ceremonial cacao to botanical tinctures such as King Nettle Tincture, which, by the way, nettle is one of the most amazing and nutritious plants that you can put in your body. So everyone needs them a little bottle of King Nettle Tincture. They also have some amazing healing lotions, Florida water, yoni steaming blends, tea blends, sananga, and they have an entire line of CBD products, including tinctures, body butters, pain salves, and even a little something for your pets. And the beautiful thing about Four Visions is that every single product in their marketplace is created handmade by indigenous people of the Amazon. And what I really love about them is that they give
50% of their profits back to those indigenous artisans to support them and their families and the tribes and make sure that they are healthy and beautiful and thriving as well. I am so grateful to be partnered with 4Visions. I really believe in their message and their purpose in this world. I love the way that they support and give back to the indigenous communities in the Amazon. And I think it's probably one of the best companies that you could support because they are really doing a lot to help those indigenous people. And I have a special 10% off code for you. So if you click the link in the show notes and use the code SERENAROSE, you can get 10% off your first order. Now let's get back to the episode.
Not all medicine is created equal, right? And that's like, that's very important to note, you know, and combo just as an example, right? There are many people who are actually selling combo on the internet and it's laced with yucca and spit and egg whites, right? And then people are getting bacterial infections or the medicine is not working properly and they're wondering what's going on, right? Like there's that aspect. There's also the over-harvesting of the sacred sapo, right? That's the frog himself, right? Know where your medicine comes from. Like you want to walk in right relation. That's like the first step is knowing where your medicine comes from, knowing who serves you, where they're getting permission to serve. Me, for example, you know, in serving combo, I feel very in right relationship with my work because even though I am a white woman serving medicine and that is cultural appropriation, right? I can also identify that there's this tribe, the Kokama tribe that we work with, that is in poverty, and they are now working directly with my teacher and gave my teacher permission to serve and pass on those traditions because in doing so, now they're getting funding to create more infrastructure for homes and for water and for school for their children. And so because we're in right relationship with that tribe, the medicine that we are purchasing is going back into those tribes, and those tribes want us to carry forth this medicine. So it's like, you know, we have to remember that this is probably not where we wanted to take this direction of conversation.
Take it wherever you want.
We got to take it here. It's so important. Like, you know, I struggled with this for so long. Like I would share a video on Instagram of saging and I would get just like ostracized, or, you know, I would say something about shamanic technology and I would have so many messages saying that I was a horrible person, right? People are hurting out there and don't want medicines to be shared. But for every one person who's angry about medicine shared, there's an indigenous person in the tribes that's saying, hey, can you please do something with this? Like my shaman, Papa Gilberto for ayahuasca, he has asked the person who coordinates our dietas in Peru to please carry this medicine back. Because in his tribe, there are no preceding children to carry this medicine. The lineages are dying, right? They're dying. And the people who are carrying these medicines, they care so much about their traditions that they want to share them. And yes, that's not everybody. And yes, I'm not speaking for anybody in this space, but it's having that perspective and having the awareness that that perspective is out there. Is really important. So if we are going to carry these medicines, if we are going to work with these medicines, walking in a right way, it's very important. And integrity, it's like not, I don't think anybody's at liberty to say who's in integrity and who's not, and like pointing fingers and such, but it is like an important, yeah, it's an important dialogue to have. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, but that's what I want to say about that.
I actually love that we went in this direction because I wanted to talk to you about your journey of becoming an earth medicine facilitator. You facilitated a few different medicines. You served me combo, like you said, which was amazing. And I would like to just touch on that because I think there is a lot of talk in the medicine community about cultural appropriation and about, you know, and I get it because we are white people, white women who are coming to these indigenous medicines. And it's very understandable that a lot of indigenous people, people of color, see that as like, what are you doing? Like, why are you just trying to take these medicines just like you've taken everything else from us, you know? Mm-hmm. I like really have a lot of deep compassion for that. And I understand like that wounding of like white people have literally tried to erase these traditions and try to like make sure that these medicines don't get seen. White people have stolen from us. Mm-hmm. So how dare you, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I really understand. And like I said, I have a lot of deep compassion for that. And that's why I think it is really important for any white person or person who's not part of the indigenous lineage that these medicines come from. I think it is really important for us to be humble and to have a lot of respect and to just come with the intention of learning and knowing that there's so much that we don't know. Mm. And I also see how our American Western society really needs healing. It's so important to honor these indigenous lineages and to learn from them and to respect them and to talk about them and to support them financially, you know, with our words, with all of these things. And I also feel like there's a reason that more Western people are feeling called to sit with these medicines, feeling called to serve these medicines, because not everybody can go to the Amazon. Not everybody has the ability to leave their home for 2 weeks, a month, and go to the Amazon and study with ayahuasca or combo or these different medicines. And so I just want to say, like, for anybody who is feeling called to serve any type of earth medicine, learn from these indigenous people, learn from those who have carried these lineages for thousands of years, and be humble and honor them. And don't just, you know, be like, I'm a shaman now because I decided. Like, that's there's a lot of issue with that. But
there's so much issue with that.
I would like for you to like just expand on that and talk about your journey of feeling called to facilitate. And
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's fascinating to me because like my journey with serving in the psychedelic plant medicine realm, as well as in the combo medicine realm, all of that happened on accident. And none of that was because I was sitting here saying, oh, I really want to do this. And I'm really called to do this. And I think it's important to acknowledge that like everybody has different ways that the medicine shows up and tells them that this is like the work that they're supposed to do. But for me personally, it was something I fell into. And so the way that it happened was that I had teachers for these medicines who were trained in the jungle, who were trained by indigenous people in many traditions. And in Sato Daime, Shipibo, in the Matsi traditions, in the Kokama traditions. And so what ended up happening was that I showed up for my opportunity to receive those medicines. And I was told by my teachers, I need help. You're sitting here. I need you to do X, Y, and Z. Right. And it was a very big, both of the times it happened, you know, in the psychedelic realm and in the combo realm, it was very much a very profound moment for me. And I think it really humbled me. And it also, you know, it made me aware, because from my manifestations of these perspectives of my work, I started to see how this work was manifesting for others and how different it was. So people would sit with combo once and they would say, oh, I want to facilitate this. It's so powerful. Or they would go to an ayahuasca retreat and all of a sudden they wanted to be a psychedelic facilitator. And, you know, it's such a, I can't relate to that. It was such a different experience for me. And I think I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful that my experience was the way it was, because it taught me to be humble and to always be a student and to not push and force and make things happen. Like, that's also a really big thing. And I think for me, the general, like, white people serving medicine is a spectrum, right? And so we have these, like, these people who are like, yeah, I'm called to this medicine and I'm going to study it for 25 years before I ever serve it, right? And then we have people who are like, I'm called to this medicine and I don't want to serve it. It fell on my lap. And then we have the people who are like, I'm going to go to the jungle and I'm going to really learn these traditions. You know, I think having teachers is very, very, very important so that these indigenous traditions aren't more whitewashed than they already are. Like that's what's also happening. And it affects like the safety of containers, because when you don't have those traditions backing you and you don't have that indigenous permission, these ceremony spaces, whether it's combo, ayahuasca, bufo, whatever, they get very wonky. They get very unclear. And so, you know, just because you have this immense amount of study of your own personal experience doesn't mean that you can serve a medicine and feel protected by the indigenous allies and the plant allies and the totems that are here to protect us. Maybe you do, right? Maybe you do. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think it's like, it's just really important. Like everything you said is a resonant yes for me of like, find a teacher. Like I remember when I started working with feathers and I started working with sage, this was a very big thing because social media, there's a lot of police, right? There's a lot of people who want to police you. And I shared this video of a really sacred moment for me. I was going through a tough time and my husband, I trained him to do the work on me and he was clearing me with the sage and with the feather. And I got really attacked. I got attacked by people who were very, very angry. And I had, at the time I had a Lakota teacher, Native American study. And I went to him and I paid him for a session. And I said, you know, I don't know what's happening, but like, is this wrong? Is it wrong that I'm doing this? And he said, no, it's not wrong. He said, there are other things that are inappropriate to share, right? And then there are things that are okay to share. And this is okay to share. And so being able to go to my teacher and just ask, what is this, right? That was really helpful for me in those experiences. And it also taught me that the judgment that we receive and the backlash that we receive is always going to come up when there's something within us that needs to be healed, right? Just like we talked about before, entrepreneurship brings up those mirrors and those triggers and those unintegrated aspects of self. Yeah, there was a deep part of me at that time that didn't feel embodied in my medicine work, that questioned my purpose, that made me feel like, am I doing this right? Or, you know, fearful of judgment. And so those wounds came out through these manifestations of critic and opinion. And I also had experiences where I was wrong and I had a lot to learn. But just because you're getting negative feedback doesn't necessarily mean that you're wrong all the time. So it's important to practice that discernment and see, you know, is this judgment that is coming up against me, is this my truth, or is this just here for me to look at a wounded part of myself that I need to love more? That makes sense.
Absolutely. I deeply resonate with everything that you said. And yeah, like I said, I just think it's really important for us as white people coming into these ancient traditions to like really just be mindful and be humble. And I definitely see people who, you know, are very quick. They sit with ayahuasca one time and they're very quick to just put shaman in their Instagram bio. And it's very egoic. Yeah. I think that we just have to be very, very aware of ourselves. And so for me personally, I was in a deep study years ago with the mushrooms, and I had one experience with them. Like I was sitting with 3.5 grams like once a month about by myself, like solo. And I had an experience with them at one point where they said, you're going to bring this medicine to people one day. And I was like, what? Okay. Like I still was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, and then, my second night that I ever sat with ayahuasca, she told me, you're a medicine woman. And I was like, I was actually shocked. And I was like, no, I don't think that's, are you sure? Like I was in this conversation with her for a good, like maybe 30 minutes to an hour, obviously wow. Time in that spaces. And I was just like, I don't know, like, really? like me. And I was like, I started crying and I just felt so humbled and so honored because I understand like the power that these medicines have, you know. And I think, and that doesn't mean that I'm going to serve ayahuasca one day. I don't know. Being a medicine person can mean a lot of different things, you know?
Many different things, yeah.
And like, I just think it's important for anybody that is feeling called to serve these medicines to maintain that humility and to know what, like, how important this is. Like, I had another journey with ayahuasca where I was just really seeing and feeling the power of these sacred medicines and how they literally have the power to help us change the world. Like, I feel emotional even thinking about it because they're so important. And no, they're not for everybody, but for many people they can be so transformative. And something that one of my teachers told me at the end of my first ayahuasca retreat, she said, "Now all you need is patience." And I always take that with me because this is not something that you want to rush into if you're wanting to facilitate anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why, although I feel very deeply called to serve mushroom medicine to people, at this point I have only served close friends because it's important to, you know, not just dive in the deep end. And like you said, it's important to have teachers and to learn from people who have sat with Indigenous people and to sit with these Indigenous people yourself. It's just like, it's so important to just be humble and patient and take your time. Like, there's really no rush. You got your whole life, you know?
Dude, I have had so many moments where I've gone to my teacher and I have said, I don't want to fucking do this, because the initiation that, like, people don't really understand until you're on the path. So if people are listening and they're on the path, you probably get it. But when you're feeling a call to carry medicine of the earth, the initiation that you experience is no fucking joke. It's hard, man. It's hard. Like, I don't know if everybody learns like this, but I have learned some of the hardest lessons about being trauma informed and communicating in a right way in a ceremony space and not holding someone's fear and not projecting storylines and being compassionate and being patient, but knowing how to hold an energy of a container that you're leading. Like, there's this whole complex study that you have to experience, and the lessons that come in that initiation process are brutal. You know, I had a really deep conversation with my teacher last month in one of our ceremony gatherings, and he said, you know, he's like, "Lauren, when you serve," you know, that's what he said. He was like, "When you serve," and I was like, "No, no, thank you." And he got mad. He got very mad. He goes, "What do you think this is? Are you naive?" It's like, what are you going to do when I die? You're going to carry this. And it was this moment that I was like, like, holy shit. And like, I'm going to take my time, right? Because if that is what's going to happen, and that is the trajectory of what he's desiring and the permission that he's giving me with, you know, I want to make sure that I'm in the right way. And that's about, you know, for me, I'm always asking, like, how can I be in more of a right way, right? How can I be in a right way with spiritual practice? How can I be in a right way with communication? How can I be in a right way with self-love, with relationship dynamics, with the medicine itself, with the Indigenous, right? Like, if you are on any type of path, that question of how can I be more in a right way, the answers are going to always evolve, but it's always a question that we want to be present with and make a priority. So yeah, I think it's a crazy complex journey. It's a beautiful journey. Congratulations to anybody who's on this path, you know, high five to you, because this is hard fucking work and it's no joke. But like, the medicine calls people in these very unique ways. And I think what you said before is really resonant of like Western ideology is rewriting itself right now. And there are a lot of people in the Western world who don't have the resources to travel to these indigenous areas, nor should they, right? Western situations of complex trauma and chronic illness and mental health challenges are so complex. And they're so different compared to what people in the indigenous world experience that, you know, sometimes going out into the jungle and doing a dieta in a tambo hut with no running water is like the most traumatizing thing you can do to your nervous system. And people, not everybody needs that. Some people need safety in a home, and some people need nourishment and Western comforts to feel safe, to allow themselves to open up, to have these experiences. Some people need titration of the medicine, which is drinking medicine a little bit at a time before you build up to a place where you're ready to go deep. And yeah, we just got to meet ourselves where we're at. So yeah, complex conversation, complex components of this, but ultimately it's all really about just walking in a right way.
Mm-hmm. And I just love what you said, because I fully agree. And I know people who have been, who have said, you know, when I sit with ayahuasca the first time, it needs to be in the jungle. It needs to be with indigenous people. And I fully respect and understand the intention behind that. And also, I mean, I still haven't been to the jungle. Like, yeah. I've been to the jungle of Costa Rica, but not like Peru.
In a nice retreat center. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very different.
Yeah. It's but hard, man.
It's, I mean, I'm sure you can vouch. Like, it's intense, and it's a lot. Yeah. And I think that there probably is a lot of benefit for Western people to have a facilitator who has grown up in this society and can understand the complexities of this world that we live in. Because I mean, even just with the integration aspect, like we mentioned before, I remember hearing a woman that I follow say that when she was starting on her medicine path, it was very early on before it became popularized, and there was no concept of integration because indigenous people, the medicine is integrated into their lives.
Yes.
So it's very different for us as Westerners to go through these experiences and then to come home to our 9-to-5 job in the city.
And our computers and our televisions and the noise and the day-to-day responsibilities of life. Like, yeah, it's hard. Like, even for me, Serena, like, I don't tell many people this, but like, when I go to diet in the jungle and I come back, it's like this very same pattern where as soon as I return, like, I get into a big thing with my husband about the television, music, noise, cell phones. Like, I can't, it's too much because I've taken this very long rest where I'm not with any technology for 2 weeks. And then I come back home and I'm like, whoa, this is like very jarring and it's hard to integrate. So, you know, usually my trips, I come back home and there are several weeks where I just can't have the television on in the house at all. And yeah, so I don't know. I think, yes, we have to just acknowledge that our differences are very unique and that we can meet our needs in an authentic way and find right relationship facilitators and do this work in a good, safe way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just stay humble, stay patient, like, and remember the most important thing is that every master, every teacher knows that they are always a student. Mm. And if you come across anyone who's facilitating medicine and has that energy of, I already figured it out, I know it all, then run as fast as you can in the other direction. Because
another thing on this, another thing on this too. I'm a firm believer, like, for me personally, what helps my nervous system rest and ground into the embodiment of quote unquote facilitating, right? I don't have this drive to make a ton of money with medicine. And like that component of this, I think is important. Like, my business as an entrepreneur, my business is generated through digital courses, online teachings, trainings, coaching, mentorship, et cetera. And that's my business. Everything else is service. And I think that for me has created a really healthy, right relationship with my work, because the medicine work that I do translates into my offerings in the online space. And I think that some for a lot of people, what we're forgetting is that sometimes the medicine is not asking us to carry the medicine the way that we think it is, right? Like, oh, she said I'm going to carry this medicine and that means I'm going to serve ayahuasca. No, sometimes it's like, that's going to give me the downloads for the business that I create and for the legacy I birth. Like my heal program, that whole entire program was structured through ayahuasca. It was my whole year-long sabbatical in Sedona mapped out in a digital course with no plant medicine, step by step, and channeled meditations that were done through medicine. So it's like, you know, I think that's also just really present for me of like, what are you hoping to gain? And is that clear and is that healthy? Right. And so for me, I can really sit here and say, yeah, I don't make any money when I serve medicine. And like, that feels good for me. It's not for everybody. Some people, this is their livelihood and I can understand that, but yeah, it's service. It's for me, it's the way that I give back and the study translates and gives back to me through my online legacy and what I create in the world. But that's just me.
I love that. And I think that that is just a big thing to remember is like, you're here to be of service. And I just want to say, like, I love that you created an entire program from the lessons that you learned and the process you went through in ayahuasca, but there's no ayahuasca required, you know? And I feel the medicine moving through you in all the work that you do. And it's just so beautiful and so needed in the world.
Be the medicine. That's like, so ayahuasca calls people very specifically to be the translator for the world that's not ready to sit with medicine. So we have to be open to that perspective as well. Like there are many ways to carry her and like, it's not always what we think it is. And so, yeah, thank you for saying that to me. Like I feel her deeply. I feel her in my life and she's a big part of my work. She's a big part of my prayer for children in my lifetime and mission in my lifetime and relationship with my husband. She teaches me in all the ways. And I let her run through my life in all these different ways. And I think that's, just really beautiful. Medicine is here to affect all areas of life.
Amen. Aho. Is there anything else that you feel called to share before we wrap up this amazing podcast?
If you don't want to listen to anything I said, that's okay too. You know, like, I think that's just what I wanted. There are a lot of people out there who are like, I know all the things. And there's a facilitator I'm thinking of specifically who she's facing a lot of heat right now in the medicine community. And I've been watching a little bit on the sidelines. And the reason, part of the reason is because she literally preaches that she doesn't have an ego, right? That's her thing. She said, I don't have an ego. But what I'm saying and why I'm bringing this up is like, I want to be mindful of like the ways in which my way of speaking come across and if it is coming across in this way as me knowing all the answers or having all the solutions or knowing the truth of the truths, right? Like, I just want to shelf that and say no and just say that this is like, this is how I operate. This is me being vulnerable about my perspectives. I'm sure there are many different people who would have very strong opinions that are different than mine. And I think it's what's really important in this world is that we give ourselves space to learn and grow with one another and to be able to share our points of view and not have it be in a violent way of communicating. Right. It's like there have been many times in my timeline where I've shared a perspective and then through talking to somebody realized that maybe I was wrong or maybe I have to look at things a different way or maybe I have to understand something a different way. And so, I just want to say that of like the attachment to like finding who's the one that's saying all the truth. Like it's just not, that's not how this game plays. We're learning and we're growing together. And then the other thing I will say is that like, if you are here and you're studying plant medicine or you're feeling called to plant medicine, like know how to ask the right questions. I think that's really important when you're going into a medicine space. I like to, if I can share maybe just some of the things that I like to ask, right? Like, obviously identify your needs. When I first picked where I was going to go diet in the jungle, it was such a big decision. I didn't want to sit with any Westerner that was traveling to Peru to serve medicine. That was, I had no interest in that. And I didn't want to sit with a young facilitator. I wanted to sit with an actual shaman. And by my definition, a shaman is somebody who's been initiated at the age of like 10, 11, or 12 to go do a diet in the jungle for a couple of years through their tribe, through their lineage. And so I found that Papa Gilberto, he studies, he works with many different plants, but his plant that he dieted was Noirau, which is the tree of light. And he dieted the wind of Noirau. So I think it's, you got to know what's important to you. Okay. Like, no, and don't compromise your values because you're hungry and you just want to do it. And you found this little ayahuasca thing on the corner in New York City in a hotel, like, you know, just be smart, right? Like, don't compromise. She will appear exactly as you need her. I have a friend, just as an example, I have a client of mine who really wanted to sit with ayahuasca. And I told her, she's like, how do I find the medicine? I said, pray, just pray. And she calls me. She's like, Lauren, you're not going to believe it. The Huni Kuin are coming to my village, like literally like right around the corner in Australia. And so she went, right? It was just really amazing. So yeah, don't compromise. The second thing is like when you're going to sit, you want to ask where the medicine is sourced, right? Like if people are getting medicine from Peru, that is like a whole, that's a whole different conversation, my opinion on that, right? Bringing Peruvian medicine into the States. I have a very strong opinion on it, but you know, where is it coming from? The tribes, where are you getting this medicine? Is it being blessed before it's traveling? Are they using water in the States to cook down this medicine or are they not, right? Like all of that has an impact. Asking your facilitator, where they trained and who gave them permission to serve and how long they've been facilitating. I had a ceremony in Costa Rica a couple of months ago. I went back to the place where I started my journey, which I don't recommend for first timers. And I went up to the facilitator and I said, you know, I just to feel safe. I sit a lot and I want to know like how long you've been serving. And his response was, we could talk about that after, because I don't do interviews before ceremony. And so, So I was like, okay, bye. Like, you know what I mean? Like, thank you. I got my answer. Not for me. And it was a disastrous ceremony. So glad I didn't go. Right. So, you know, how long have they been training? How long have they been sitting? How many guardians are in the space? What are the rules about touching? Right. Is this a prayer focused container or is this just something that everybody's doing and partying up? Right. Like, ask the right questions. And yeah, that's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm. I fully second everything that you said. Like, and going back to the other point that you made, like, you don't find the medicine, she finds you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also remembered something that I wanted to say earlier. We were talking, you know, about cultural appropriation and all of these things. And when it comes to mushrooms, this is a very interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's important to put in the space because mushrooms grow in every continent in the entire world except for Antarctica.
Yep.
So I truly believe that all of our ancestors to some extent had experiences with sacred mushrooms. And I still think it's important to learn from elders and from people who know these medicines.
Yeah. You know? The mushrooms, I feel like they're so adaptable, right? Because because they exist everywhere and because multiple indigenous traditions have evidence, like even they say Jesus was even taking mushrooms. And that was like a whole, if you read the Bible in a certain way, right? I believe like in my native tradition, right? I'm Iranian, I'm Italian, I'm a little Egyptian, and I'm sure I could find roots of all of that and find the storylines of history where I'm like, oh yeah, see, it's in my DNA and I can serve it now. But like, I just think mushrooms are here as like the training wheels to go lead us to bigger things, whether that is a macro dose experience or a different plant. But I think that yes, I agree with you in that concept. Multiple Indigenous traditions teach, and multiple Indigenous traditions exist, and mushrooms are everywhere. So, you know, like los niños, the little children, like let's give ourselves permission to play a little bit in that approach.
Mm-hmm. And still having right relationship, you know, yeah. Like it's very important with whatever medicine you're working with.
100%, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on here. This has been so fun and just beautiful to catch up with you.
I know, I love it. It's really cool. Like I appreciate all of the reflection and the sharing just around medicine that you're holding space for on this platform. I think it's so needed, and the more stories we can document and share that are in a good, healthy way, the more we can educate, the more we can be vulnerable. I feel like the more we can really unify as a collective and really hold space for all of our medicine to like come together. So thank you for holding the space, and thank you for having me. It was so beautiful, and I love you, aww, Serena, so much. Yeah, honored.
I love you so much. And yeah, that's really the whole reason that I started this podcast, is because I felt like there's a bit of a gap in some ways. I think that it's becoming more common, and I have pages that I follow that talk about medicine and how to be in right relationship and all these things. But as we are entering this psychedelic renaissance, as they say, it's just so important. Like I see it all the time. I hear comedians and people talking about how they just like
memorize it.
Oh my God. And just like taking mushrooms as like a party drug, or I heard of, bro, this is just a quick thing, but I heard a story of a comedian. I was watching a podcast, and he said that whoever the facilitator was served him some sort of ayahuasca mushroom blend and and left him alone in a room for hours. Like he seemed to have a good experience, but from my like just learning the lessons that I've learned, I'm just like, that is a huge no. Like don't do that.
I got a better one for you. Ready for this one? This, I know we're out of time, but I just want to share this because it's super juicy. I went to go get a massage with this woman in Vermont, and she was a medicine sister, and we really connected. And she was telling me about her friend. And she said, my friend just went to the worst ayahuasca ceremony. She had bonk medicine, which generally means, okay, for context, it means that it's very fear-based, okay? It's like really uncomfortable, really scary, unsafe. She didn't feel safe with this facilitator, but she drank anyway. And then the facilitator thought, because she was inexperienced, that she gave her too much medicine. So she started to give her charcoal pills. And when she wouldn't calm down, she locked her in one of the rooms, and she crawled out of the window and ran over to the neighbor's house and was rushed to the emergency room and ended up having like a full psychotic break. So not to close on a bang, okay? Like this woman ended up shaving her head and having this like huge kind of like rebirth moment. And she said it was like,
God.
Yeah, she said it was beautiful. She's so grateful it happened, changed her life. Good for her for thinking positive. And also like that could be totally unavoidable. It could totally be avoidable. So yeah, please, safety first, guys. Safety first.
It's so important. Like if you don't feel safe, don't do it.
And No. I even tell people in our ceremonies, right? I'm like, if you don't feel like drinking, you don't have to, right? Like you gotta trust that feeling that you have, because the frequency in which you drink in is the frequency that your container is going to hold. So that's really important to note as well. Like obviously in ayahuasca, you're going to be facing shadow patterns. And if you're somebody who generally doesn't feel safe in her life, that is probably going to manifest and you're going to have to look at it. But in it's possible to do that in a safe container, in a safe way. So if you are feeling those feelings coming through in your field, trust that, listen to that. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, trust yourself and everything that you said, everything that we've talked about. Just know where your medicine comes from, know the facilitators, like what kind of experience do they have. These things are so so important, because like I said earlier, these medicines have the power to help us change the world and help us change our lives, and we cannot forget the immensity and the potency in that. They are incredibly powerful, and safety is really important.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you. I love you so much. Feel free to let everyone know where they can find you, and I'll put your links in the show notes and everything.
So you can come to Lauren of Love on Instagram. Lauren of Love. I also have the Lauren of Love podcast, and laurenoflove.com is the place where I house all of my digital courses. There's actually a really cool course on there, Plant Medicine 101. It teaches you kind of the umbrella of all the different archetypes of each medicine, how to walk in a right way, questions to ask for safety, and which medicine. I think sometimes people have a hard time identifying, like, based on my needs, what medicine would be right for me? And so that class really explores all of that. So if you're called, you can go to the website, laurenoflove.com, and check it out.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Definitely check out her course. Lauren is amazing. She's a great teacher. So just go and follow her because she's the best. I love you. Thank you everyone for watching, and I hope you have a good day.
Bye guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment letting me know how you liked this episode. And if you have topic suggestions for future episodes, feel free to leave them in the comments there. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much, and stay blessed.